Welcome to Asbury. I'm Brother Hammett, and I'm so glad that you're with us today. As you prepare to worship with us on our live stream, I invite you to make space wherever you are for worship, if you're able. You may want to silence your devices and make yourself comfortable, maybe light some candles. Please do take just a moment and let us know that you're here. You can do that in a couple of different ways. The first way is to scan the QR code on your screen. All you have to do is open the camera on your phone or smart device and aim it at the screen, and you'll receive an invitation to open our sign-in webpage. Or you can just make a comment in the chat or like the video. If you're looking for a church home, you're always welcome at Asbury. If you'd like to visit about joining the Asbury family, just email me at the address below, and I'd be glad to work out a time when we can visit. I pray that God blesses you through this service today. We'll begin in just a moment.
Good morning, good morning. How is everybody? Woo! Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. My name is Caleb. I lead worship in here with these fine people. Let's stand and worship together.
Jesus, Lord of my salvation, Savior of my soul, send me out to the world to make you known. Yeah. Jesus, King of every nation, this world's only hope, send me out to the world to make you known. Yeah. Send me out to the world. I want to be your hands and feet. I want to be your voice every time I speak. I want to run to the ones in need. In the name of Jesus, I want to give my life away, all for your kingdom's sake. Shine a light in the dark. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Oh, carry to the brokenhearted. Carry to the brokenhearted. Mercy you have shown. Send me out to the world to make you known. To the ones in need of rescue, lead me, I will go. Send me out to the world to make you known. Send me, Lord, send me out to the world. Shine a light in the darkest day, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, oh, yeah. The name of Jesus, yeah. Here am I, I will go, send me out to make you known. There is hope for every soul, so send me out, here am I, I will go, send me out to make you known. Yes, there is hope for every soul, so send me out. be your hands and feet. I want to be your voice every time I speak. I want to run to the ones in need. In the name of Jesus, I want to give my life away, all for your kingdom's sake. Shine a light in the darkest place, in the name of Jesus. Oh, I want to be your hands and feet. I want to be your voice every time I speak. I want to run to the ones in need, in the name of Jesus. I want to give my life away, all for your kingdom's sake. Shine a light in the darkest place, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. It's called One Thing Remains. If everything else leaves, God's love is still there.
And it's higher than the mountains that I face. It's stronger than the power of the grave. And it's constant in the trial and the change. This one thing remains. This one thing remains. Goes, your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love. And on and on and on it goes. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love. On and on and on and on, yeah. Oh, on and on and on and on and it goes. It overwhelms and satisfies my soul, and I never ever have to be afraid. Well, this one thing remains. never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning. Have a seat. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. What a joy and a blessing it is to be in worship with you today. I'm so thankful that you are here, those of you that are with us here in the Wilson Activity Center, and those of you that are joining us online. It is a blessing to see you, and I pray that this time of worship is powerful for you. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here. My colleague is Reverend Hammett Evans, and he'll be bringing today's message as we close out our series for freedom. We're going to wrap up the book of Galatians. I know this has been a powerful series. It's been a challenging series for us all, and Brother Hammett will bring that to its culmination today. When you have an opportunity, Kevin should have passed out some connect tabs, which are for our attendance when you came in. Drop that in the offering plate as it comes by. And if you're watching online, there's a QR code on your screen. You can scan that as well. Just a couple of quick announcements before we continue on with worship. First of all, this Friday we have a Asbury Kids event here at the church. It'll be at 6:30 here in the Wilson Activity Center. They are going to do a family movie night. It should be a lot of fun, a great time of fellowship and friendship and just coming together. And so if you have children, or if you're a children or a child at heart, come by and enjoy that time and watch a movie with us. Also, as I stand here, I can proudly report that we did make it back from Puerto Rico at about 4 o'clock Saturday morning. And so I want to thank everybody for their prayers and for their gifts. Without this beautiful community here at Asbury, that trip would not have been possible. And it was very transformative for all of us. If you want to hear more about it, talk to me, talk to Sherry, talk to Christian, and those that went. We would love to share that with you. But it was a blessing, and I just, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for your prayers and gifts and for making that possible. Now, as we continue on with worship, please join me as we go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we gather this morning with hearts that are full, as your love flows down like water into all of us. But we also gather this morning thirsty, God, because we come wanting more of you, more of your presence, more of your love, more of your grace into us. What I'm saying, God, is we want more of you, and we want less of us. So this morning we ask that you move mightily among us here in this space and in our online spaces to transform us through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because God, while we come here with full hearts and with joy, we also come this morning in different spaces with different hurts, different pains, different frustrations. And God, we trust and know that you are at work in all of our lives in a mighty way. And so we give you thanks for that. God, this morning we ask that you challenge us, that you challenge us to see love in the way that you call us to love others. Help us to find joy in where we are in this moment. Help us to find joy in the little things. Help us to find joy in the little daily joys that we find among friends, loved ones, and strangers. God, this morning we pray for all of those who are hurting. We pray for all of those who are in need of your healing, of your love, God. We pray for those in our Asbury community that are in need of your touch in some way. We pray specifically for Clifford Smith and for June Glacier. We pray for Barbara Clark and for Fred Williams. We pray for Megan Arnold and for Joyce Dennis. We pray for Doug Chenault and for Jean Hammett, for Barbara Mills, for Johnny Ruth Fisher, for Jeannie Robbins. We pray for all of the children here in the state of Arkansas and beyond that find themselves in foster care waiting for a forever home. God, we pray today that they find that in the loving embrace of people who bring them in to teach you Christ, to teach them Christ's love. And so, God, we ask that you are with all of those kids during this time of waiting and this time of transition. God, we gather above all else today to give you thanks for your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the heavy price he paid on the cross, a price we could not pay ourselves. We thank you for his victory, his resurrection that sets us free from the shackles of death and sin that have bound us. We thank you for his earthly ministry, for all he has taught us, is teaching us, and will teach us. We thank you for the power of prayer, for knowing how to pray, for being able to come to you and lay our burdens at your feet, to thank you for the joys and blessings you pour into our life. We thank you for Jesus, who taught us how to pray with the Lord's Prayer. We will now say that together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Before this next song, I'm married to a wonderful therapist. And when things are kind of odd, she says we have to name it. And so let me do that now. I know that this worship has been a little different. I think Brother Hammett's going to talk about that a little later. I know we don't have the lyrics on the screen today. So if you know this next one, which is Living Hope, you can stand and worship with us. If not, you can sit in prayer and meditation. But we're trying our best to provide safe, meaningful worship. And so bear with us. I know it's a little different today. So wanted to kind of put that out there. This is Living Hope.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven, spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh, hallelujah. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body, it began to breathe, and out
was beautiful. As we prepare our hearts and minds for an offertory, the time of offertory, I want to share a story with you. And there's a lot of stories I could share about this past week, but I want to share this one specifically because it applies. On our last day of work in Puerto Rico, we got sent out to a farm to help a couple there that was trying to build a sustainable system for them to live with. And we went down to this field, and first of all, we had to go down this, walk down this dirt hill to get to the field, and some of us might have fallen down the hill. I'm not going to name names, but some of us might have fallen down the hill. But we get down there, and it's just as hot as it can be. It felt like we were in the devil's living room, and the bugs are just eating us alive, and we're pulling these invasive weeds, and we finally break for lunch, praise the Lord, and we go back walking up this hill, and there's a woman at the top of the hill that we've never seen before. She doesn't live there, but she's holding these gigantic Tupperware containers full of watermelon, and brothers and sisters, it was the best watermelon I have ever had in my life. And I share that story with you because, for all we know, in that moment, that was all she had to give. But it was her way of showing how much she loved and appreciated us being there. And we had a wonderful lunch visiting with her. And it made me think about the story of the widow's mite, where the woman gave all that she had because she gave with her whole heart. And I want you all to know that when you give to the mission and ministries of Asbury, those are the moments that you're giving to. Without your prayers and your presence and your gifts, we can't go to Puerto Rico and do those things. And we can't do the things we do in Little Rock. So we thank you for that. So this morning, give what you have. If it's prayers, if it's financial resources, if it's watermelon, give it and we'll take it and we'll be thankful for it. If you're watching online, you can scan a QR code that will tell you all about the ways you can give to Asbury. With that, let's prepare our hearts and minds to receive our offertory with a prayer. Gracious, loving God, we thank you that you have brought us in this moment, and we thank you for the opportunities you place before us to build your kingdom here and abroad. And God, we know that we are challenged to give all that we can, to give with our whole hearts, whatever that looks like. We know that it is good in your sight. And so this morning, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, challenge us to give in all the ways we have never given before. We ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.
I don't know who in here grew up Baptist. A lot of good Methodists grew up Baptist. Diana did. And there's a worship leader named Don Moen who wrote a ton of songs. This is kind of in the 90s. And I get on these kicks, and I've been listening to a lot of Don Moen. He wrote, "Give thanks with a grateful heart, give thanks." And they're very simple, but very powerful. And so this is a Don Moen song that I've been listening to a lot. Because sometimes the simple songs, they say it all, don't they? So if you catch on to the chorus, carefully sing it behind your mask, maybe. Goes like this.
Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through. Use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life.
Sing that again. Lord, I offer my life.
Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I've been through, use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you. A pleasing sacrifice. Oh, yes, Lord. Lord, I offer you my life. Things in the past, things yet unseen, wishes and dreams that are yet to come true. All of my hope, all of my plans, my heart and my hands are lifted to you. And Lord, I offer my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my
weeks ago, we had our first, yes, please. Sorry. Of course, Caleb's going to get applause. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we had our first vacation Bible school in 3 years here at Asbury. And I want to tell you that it was, yes. It was a food truck party.
It was a food truck. I got the pleasure of being DJ Cupcake. And by the way, let me just tell you, we have some amazing kids at this church. And it was a pleasure getting to know them all a little bit more through dance.
Absolutely. And just a big thank you to everyone who volunteered, everyone who made that possible. It was so great to see all of our children here having fun. We had children that are not members of Asbury that were here, and they had a great week and fully immersed themselves. So it was just beautiful all the way around. And we have a recap video that we'd like to share with you, and so we'll go ahead and roll that now.
Even in comes, God provides.
Amen. It was a great week, and we already can't wait for next year. Our scripture reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the Galatian church. We're in chapter 6, verses 1 through 16. You are welcome to follow along on the screen. Brothers and sisters, if a person is caught doing something wrong, you who are spiritual should restore someone like this with a spirit of gentleness. Watch out for yourselves so you won't be tempted too. Carry each other's burdens, and so you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are important when they aren't, they are fooling themselves. Each person should test their own work and be happy with doing a good job and not compare themselves with others. Each person will have to carry their own load. Those who are taught the word should share all good things with their teacher. Make no mistake, God is not mocked. A person will harvest what they plant. Those who plant only for their own benefit will harvest devastation from their selfishness. But those who plant for the benefit of the Spirit will harvest eternal life from the Spirit. Let's not get tired of doing good, because in time we'll have a harvest if we don't give up. So then let's work for the good of all whenever we have an opportunity, and especially for those in the household of faith. Look at the large letters I'm making with my own handwriting. Whoever wants to look good by human standards will try to get you to be circumcised, but only so they won't be harassed for the cross of Christ. Those who are circumcised don't observe the law themselves, but they want you to be circumcised so they can boast about your physical body. But as for me, God forbid that I should boast about anything except for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world has been circumcised to me through him, and I have been circumcised to the world. Being circumcised or not being circumcised doesn't mean anything. What matters is a new creation. May peace and mercy be on whoever follows this rule and on God's Israel. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I need my cheaters. We were joking earlier, the song, that beautiful song that Caleb and Diana did for our offering is almost identical to Do It To Me One More Time by the Captain and Tennille. And we all got tickled because I'm old enough to remember the Bionic Watermelon. What about y'all? Yeah. All right. So it's nice to see y'all today. I do want to say, man, that VBS video was really hard to watch because I just, like yesterday, got food truck party out of my head after 2 weeks. But we really did have a blast. It was so much fun. I do want to say a word of appreciation. I know we had to pivot Thursday and return some of our restrictions here at Asbury. And I appreciate you for following those. The last time we shut down, our trustees met with a group of medical professionals here in our church family, and they gave us some guidance about their thoughts about particular things we needed to do. And in short, we decided that we would follow whatever the CDC said. And so when Pulaski County went to high COVID level on Thursdays. Update, we implemented masks because the CDC says that we should be wearing masks in public spaces like church. And so I appreciate you doing that. We have had some cases here at the church. I know we had one case where somebody got it here at a church event. And some of those folks have been really sick. I don't know about these new variants. I can't explain all that. But, it took some pretty healthy people out for several days. And so we want to be as safe and as healthy as possible, and I appreciate you for masking up, and we can do some very minor things and hopefully not have to close the church again. Amen? That's our main goal. All right, so on to the sermon. So I hope you've enjoyed pondering Paul's very challenging letter to the Galatians. So far, Paul has been bold enough to say that being a Christian is not about following a bunch of rules. And then he compared the Old Testament law to a strict babysitter. And he says, now that our brother Christ has come home, we don't need that babysitter anymore. We can just throw that away. Well, because of that, Paul was accused of antinomianism. And all that means is lawlessness, just that kind of life where anything goes. You can just do whatever you want. But that's not what he was talking about. Last week, he contrasted the life of the flesh, the works of the flesh, which are about living selfishly, living for your just for yourself. He contrasts that with living in love, and he tells us what the fruits of the Spirit of living the life of love would be. So then, for freedom, Paul said, Christ set us free to love and serve one another. So now that we've been set free, how do we determine what's right and wrong? That's what we're going to talk about as we conclude today. How does the Spirit help us determine that? Now, before I begin, I do need to give a quick nod to my Christian ethics professor from seminary, Dr. Tim Jackson. And his book, The Priority of Love, is excellent if you want to dive even a little bit deeper than what I'm going to share this morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. God, we do thank you for being with us in so many ways, so many powerful ways already today. And we pray now that you will give us your Holy Spirit so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. This guy named Jim George tells about trying to sell a boat and a trailer in the middle of winter. And, of course, nobody was out boating in the middle of winter, much less buying boats and trailers. So this guy calls him out of the blue, and he says he's willing to pay asking price, but with one condition, that Jim would write only half the price for the trailer on the bill of sale. That would save the buyer half the sales tax he owed. Well, Jim said his first thought was, you know, I really want to sell to that buyer. I really want to get rid of that trailer. But he said, no. And so he said, no, he might not get the asking price. But if he agreed, then Jim would be lying and he'd be breaking the law. And so he was kind of going back and forth. In the end, Jim told the guy that he was a Christian and that he couldn't do anything illegal. Well, the guy bought the boat and the trailer anyway. But Jim was ready to risk the sale to maintain his integrity and to be obedient to God. So how do we make wise choices like Jim? How do we make wise choices like Jim? How do we determine what's right and wrong? Well, as Christians, we believe, of course, that some of that has to do with Jesus, amen? Right? Some of that has to have something to do with Jesus. And even though we say that our ideas about right and wrong are based on Jesus or go back to him, I wonder about that sometimes. Because, I mean, when you really think about it, have you read what he said? I mean, how many of us actually turn the other cheek? Or how many of us actually love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us? How well do we really care for the least, the last, and the lost? I'm not sure we're all that bent on following Jesus that closely. But how can we do that? Well, ethicists tell us that we should consider three things when we're trying to figure out if something is right or wrong, something's worth doing. So the first thing that we ask of ourselves is, what kind of a person will I be if I do this? This is the question of virtue. Will I be a good person if I do this action? Are my intentions good? The second thing that we ask is the action itself good? That's the question of duty. As Christians, we look to the Bible to see if a particular action is good or not. That's at least where we begin. We look to see what the rules are. And I mentioned earlier that in the series that there are 613 rules in the Old Testament. There are an additional 800 in the New Testament for a grand total of 1,413 rules in the Bible. But there are some problems when you start looking at those rules carefully. And Paul reminds us of this in Galatians. First of all, some of the rules in the Bible are a little bit troubling. Amen? They're a little bit troubling. For example, the Bible says that if a child disobeys their parents, the parents should stone them to death in public. Now, as a former youth pastor, I have a lot of sympathy for that. But is that really what we should do? Should we follow that rule, even though it's in the Bible? For another thing, you never have enough rules for every situation. Paul mentions that in Galatians. And you always have to reinterpret old rules in light of new times. And this reinterpretation of new rules has been going on from almost the very beginning of Christianity. As Christianity has spread into newer and newer cultures, the rules often shifted. They changed. Paul does that himself. We see that in Galatians. You might not have ever heard of Saint Hippolytus of Rome, but he lived a little less than 200 years after Jesus and Paul. And he was a pastor, and he wrote a treatise called the Apostolic Tradition. And the apostolic tradition records the traditions of the very earliest Christians, including who is excluded from the church because of their profession. You might be surprised at a few of these professions. Actors, artists, charioteers, that's NASCAR drivers for them, right? Hunters, soldiers, jugglers, and school teachers, among others. Now, those folks had to quit their job if they wanted to be a Christian, if they wanted to join the church. And we could get into all the whys another time. A lot of it has to do with idol worship and that was associated with those professions at that time. But suffice it to say that those reasons were cultural. And so as culture has changed, those rules have been reinterpreted over and over again, and the church has changed. Christians have become more and more inclusive over time. Hunters, actors, and school teachers are welcome. Amen, Steve? Yeah. So then we look at Jesus. And Jesus, still thinking about rules and doing our duty. You look at Jesus, and he was always bending the rules to help people. Jesus taught us that if somebody needs help or healing, you just do it. You don't worry about what the rules are. You just heal or help them. So the third question ethicists say that we should ask ourselves is, what are the consequences? What are the consequences of that action? If I do this thing, will the results be good? And that's a wonderful question, too, because we certainly don't want to do something that will make things worse. Amen? We want to ask, will this bring about good results? But some people take it to mean, if it feels good, do it. And it doesn't matter how good some things feel, you should not do them. Another limitation of this view is when people think that the ends justify the means. No, some means are evil, and we should not use them no matter what. There should be off limits. So ethicists suggest those three questions. Will I be a good person? Is the action itself good? And what are the consequences? But if we're really serious about following Jesus, we need to go a little bit deeper. And so first, we turn to Jesus himself. Jesus said that there were two things that were important for us to do, the most important things of all. The first one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so as a disciple of Jesus Christ, I want everything in my life, everything, to honor God. I want my thoughts, my feelings, my words, my actions, all to honor God, even when I'm in the locker room. And so when we're trying to figure out if something is right or wrong, Jesus invites us to ask, will this thing honor God who is love? Now, secondly, Jesus said that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that sounds easy at first because I know if your neighbors are like mine, they're a lot like me. I mean, we live in, you know, very similar houses and drive similar cars and stuff like that. But Jesus had a very funny way of defining neighbor. You probably remember that when Jesus teaches these great commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, in Luke's gospel, it's followed by this guy that walks up to him and says, yeah, Jesus, but who is my neighbor? And it's at that point that Jesus tells that story that we call the Good Samaritan. And when you really dive into that story deep, what you discover is Jesus is teaching us that our neighbors are the people that we despise. Our neighbors are the people we would rather not spend any time with. People who are very much unlike us. Elsewhere, Jesus says we must love our enemies, we must pray for those who hate us, we must bless those who curse us. And so when we're trying to decide whether something's right or wrong, one of the best questions that we can ask is, what does love require? What does love require of me? So Jesus also taught us to treat others as you want to be treated, or the way that I learned it in Sunday school, it was do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? And we call that the golden rule. Some of y'all went to Sunday school just like me. So Jesus invites us in the golden rule to walk in somebody else's shoes, to imagine what it would be like to be somebody else. Would we, if we were in their shoes, would we want to be treated the way that we are treating them? Now, those are all wonderful questions, but there's still one little problem. And we'll get to the solution in just a little bit. The problem is that we are coming up with the answers all on our own, all by ourselves. And this is where John Wesley comes in really handy, because John Wesley used four sources to help him discern theological truths and how to decide what was right and or wrong. And those same four sources are available to you and me today. United Methodists call it the Wesleyan quadrilateral, a four-sided thing. The biggest side of the quadrilateral, the most important side, the primary side, is Scripture. I mean, if you want to understand who Jesus is, you got to read that book, amen? You got to read the Bible. And sometimes it's difficult to understand. Sometimes, as we've said, it's tricky to apply to current situations and particular issues. And so then we turn to tradition, and we ask, what did Christians in the past say about this particular thing? How did they apply those passages to their time, those passages of Scripture to their time? And the thing is, we're a part of the tradition, too. The tradition is alive today. So what does the pastor say? What do the people in my small group or my Sunday school teachers say? Wesley also said that we have our own experience. The Holy Spirit is at work in your life and in mine. We have access to God through the Holy Spirit. So what guidance does God give you through the Spirit? And then finally, Wesley said, I love this, this is my favorite part. God gave us a brain, we ought to use it, amen? I mean, one of my favorite things about being a United Methodist is that we don't ask people to check their brain at the door, amen? We believe that reason and logic can help us make wise decisions when used with these other sources as well. So, to flesh that out just a little bit more, all of these things, Wesley would say, go together. They all go together. So, will this make me a good person? Is the behavior good? Will it bring good results? Will it honor God? Is it the loving thing to do? Would I want that done to me? What would Jesus do? What does Scripture say? What do other Christians past and present say? And what do my experience and reason tell me? And Wesley would say that it's really important that the Spirit is a part of all of that process. Do you hear that? But there's one more piece to the foundation, according to Wesley. And this is the part of the quadrilateral that we most often neglect. We don't even name it. All of this happens in community. All of this happens in community. Wesley called it holy conferencing. And so that's why we have annual conferences and general conferences and jurisdictional conferences and charge conferences and district conferences and all of that in the United Methodist Church. It's about conferring with one another. We read Scripture together, we learn about our tradition together, we share our spiritual experiences with one another, and we reason through these things together as a community of faith. And so that's why Wesley said there's no such thing as a solitary Christian. We need each other. And this is key. We need our differing perspectives to see God and truth. You help me see things that I can't see. And I help you see things that you can't see. And together we discern where God is leading us as a people. Now, here's the thing. When we reflect in this way, there's one thing guaranteed. We will disagree sometimes, amen? When we reflect in this way, we will disagree sometimes. It's inevitable. And so what do we do when others disagree with us? That's a wonderful question for us to pray about, especially in these days when it seems like there are two sides at war in our country and in our church. Republicans, Democrats, liberals, conservatives, right, left. Sometimes people describe it as a culture war. Our nation every day seems to get more and more divided. And if you're following what's going on in the United Methodist Church right now, it's there too. Now, some brothers and sisters of ours make Christianity look judgmental and hypocritical. Not like Jesus at all. And some Christians, like the Amish, separate themselves from the culture. Others of us accommodate. I mean, all of us accommodate to the culture to one extent or another. We kind of pick and choose. Still others wage a militant war against the culture. Now, it's important for us to remember that Jesus did not do any of those things. Jesus modeled courageous witness through sacrificial love. Did you hear that? Jesus modeled courageous witness through sacrificial love. So how do we share the gospel in the midst of all this divisiveness and chaos? Well, the answer is pretty simple. When we discern what is right together, what is good, what is faithful, then we do good wherever, whenever, and as often as we can, with as much kindness, love, mercy, and grace as we can muster. I love a saying that is attributed to John Wesley, but it's highly unlikely that he actually said it. So I told somebody earlier, I got in big trouble the night of, Hillary Clinton is a Methodist, and I love her, she quoted John Wesley as having said this, and he didn't actually say that, and so one time on Facebook, I made the mistake of posting a meme that said, John Wesley, I never said that, and all of my liberal friends hated me for a minute. But even though he never actually said it, it's a wonderful and beautiful summary of what his thinking was like. And, you know, it's on a postcard on my granny's refrigerator, so it's got to be true. You may have heard it before. Do all the good that you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Let's say that together. I'll give you one line at a time. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Or as Paul writes in Galatians, let's not get tired of doing good, because in time we'll have a harvest if we don't give up. That is why Jesus set us free. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, amen. Let's pray together. God, we do thank you for blessing us with your presence today and with your grace and with your love. We know that you are way beyond anything that we can imagine. But we know clearly that you do love us in a way that nobody else has ever loved us. You love us absolutely unconditionally. And we pray that you will fill us with that same kind of love. Fill our hearts with your love so that we might look at others through your eyes and welcome them into your God's family graciously and kindly. God, we do lift up all of the brokenness of our world and of our denomination, and we pray that you will pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us so that we might truly seek to do the will of the Prince of Peace. We pray this all in his name, in the mighty name of Jesus. And the people of God said, amen.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. What a Savior he is.
Oh, what a Savior.
So much for being here today, and I want to say welcome and thank you for being here online as well. We had about 10 households watching live. There's been kind of an uptick as people are on vacation, things like that. By the end of the week, we tend to have about 40 or 50 households that are watching our live stream, and so we want to say thank you so much, and we're so thankful that you are worshiping with us wherever you are, whether it's at the beach or on the treadmill or wherever. But would you please stand for our benediction? Next Sunday, I'm going to kick off a new series. Hopefully by the fall, we're going to have a lot of this stuff behind us, amen? And we're going to have a really big kickoff. There's one cool, super cool event that's coming up that we haven't even told you about, and it's going to be super cool. So anyway, what we're going to do to prepare for that is we're going to talk about how we welcome people into God's family. And we're going to start that next Sunday. I'm going to kick it off with one of my favorite parables that Jesus ever told, which is the parable of the weeds. And so I want to invite you to come back for that next Sunday. Would you please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, amen. I have one more thing. Everybody say thank you to Jeannie Mintz. This is her last Sunday as our nursery coordinator, and we are so grateful for her work. And we know we want you to stick around. We want to still see you. But thank you so much for serving that way.